me now show what lumdus is hidden here. Let me ask you a kasha. I won't give you a teretz. Yes, I'd like you to think about yourself over Shabbos. See what you can find. What was the concern about mishpochos? Ger shenizgayer kikoton shenoladomi. A girl can marry a sister. They are newborn. Am Yisrael just became gerim. There's regular gerus, as I'll be teaching tomorrow or next week in the gerus class, right? How did we become Jews? Are they milo, trilo, v'atzoaz domin? Milo, trilo, and korbonos. A ger has to bring a korban. Bizman hazeh, we can't bring a korban, so it's in abeyance. Meir Ribbono Beis Hamikdash will bring a korban. It doesn't interfere with being Jewish. But there's a chiv. But the main thing is, once you become a ger, you start your life anew. So why were they worried about mishpochos? Okay. That's question number one. Okay. Now, diuk number two. It says, Sosa nochel imosecho kemotzi sholo rov. Right. So look at Rashi. No, Yitzchak, you want to read the Rashi? It's in Hebrew on your computer also. Good. Well, could be in French.
I didn't do
it. You can't read it. You've gotten older since last time I asked you to read it. It's good to see. What we were asking you was to ask you, have you recently had an eye check or not? To go for eye exam. Okay. You want to take over? Yes, over the thing there.
Sasanochi, all imrasecha, kamotzi shalom.
No, Rashi. Sasanochi.
Oh, the Rashi. Okay, where are we? Sasanochi, all imrasecha. Amira Yechida, shekan malishar amiros, vihi mila shi Yisrael.
Yeah, that, what do you mean? Why do you always talk about mila? Sasanochi, imrasecha. On your words and what you said. God said a lot of things. What words are you talking about? Imos says the first thing that you said, Yechidah shekodmo l'shar amiros, a command you gave, once came Matan Torah, he gave 613 commandments. But one of those commandments you gave earlier, Tavram Avinu. As Imrosecho, you began talking to Am Yisrael when you began talking to Avram Avinu. Right? Vihi Mila. Right? She Yisrael, no?
She Yisrael osin v'sasim alea.
V'sasim alea.
The choshar mitzvos.
This is the famous agode about Dovid HaMelech. No?
The choshar mitzvos einan mochichos kol sha'a.
None of them are constant evidence of your unique status, your unique relationship with Ribbono Shel Olam. Why? You have other things. Kantrilin, mezuzah, tzitzis. No,
because. Deinan, kishahu, besadeh,
v'arum, v'beis hamerchatz. Right. V'orum, v'beis hamerchatz. If I'm naked in the bathhouse, right, I have no tzitzis, no tefillin. So how do you know you're Jewish? The thought that you may not be Jewish is so devastating. What's worse, the thought is you may become goyish. That's even worse. Nu?
Avalzu meir aleihem la'olam, ki darminam b'menachos, daf mem gimel amabez.
B'david,
shara asmo v'beis amirchatz, v'nistair, amar oi li, shani arum, mikol mitzvos, kevan, sh'nistakel b'mila, nisyavsha dato.
Nisyavsha dato. That's so sonochi, v'secha. It gave me joy, contentment, to know I'm a Jew. I'm going to give you a beautiful pshat. It's in the Hakdama of the Shagas Aryeh. the Shud Sharas Hari. Like someone who finds great loot, great booty. Sholol. Sholol, something doesn't say like a lot of money, but sholol. Something that someone captured from somebody else. So the Shagas Haye gives a moshel, as only he can. He says, imagine a man walking in the woods and he decides to rest. He sees a cave. He goes into the cave to rest. And suddenly, he sees something sparkling. He looks further. He realizes this must be a cave where robbers, pirates, hid their loot. And he finds treasure chests filled with jewels and money, etc. So what does he do? He says, he fills his pockets. Takes diamonds and puts one in each ear and one in each nostril. He knows he's not going to be able to get back again, never try to come back again for more. And for the rest of his life, he thinks of how much money I left behind. If only I had a knapsack, if only I had something. But he says, Sos Anochi Masecha, he says, I have great joy on what you taught me, great joy in learning Torah. But as Kamosi Shololov, it's like the fellow who found that great treasure, he bemoans what he couldn't take along with him. He bemoans what's still left behind. So I bemoan the Torah that I didn't learn, the Torah that I cannot find time to learn. Beautiful pshat. Okay, you with us? Next. So I posed you a question, what about Geos? That first generation, were they immediately imposed upon by the Isur Arayas when they Shluchur? There shouldn't be any Arayas on that first generation of Geirim. Okay, next. There he says, Tanya, you got that translation. There's never a marriage that doesn't involve some disputation, some conflict between the two sides. Tanya Rav Shimon ben Elazar Omer. Rafi, as long as you started,
okay, back in the Gemara. Where are we now?
Kol mitzvah shemoslu Yisrael asman aleihem lemisa.
Kol mitzvah shekibbo aleihem. We're in Tanya Rishon ben Gamliel.
Boy, it's Shabbos Talmud Bavli. We're up to.
Okay, we're in Shabbos Talmud Bavli.
Tanya Rishim Elazar Omer, Kol Mitzvah Shemosu Yisrael Asman Alein Lemisa. They're willing to die for it. B'shas Gzeiras Hamalchus, when the evil king puts that edicts against it. Gan avoidus kechovim umila, adayin him uzekas biyodon. They remain strong in our hands. Bechol mitzvah shalom osu yischol asman aleha. Not prepared to forfeit your life. Bishas kzeiras hamalchus, gan tefillin, adayin him urupo biyodon. It's still weak in the hands. When I came to Muncie, moved there in 1960, I became Rav in 65. And Rav in 65, we opened up a Talmud Torah in the shul, open to anybody who was not a member of the shul. And there were place was filled with Mechallel Shabbos kids who never were exposed to anything. And Moshe, a very successful venture, had it for many years, until we ran out of Bali Tshuva. We ran out of Goyim. All we were able to find was residents who wouldn't come to my shul because we're not full enough. But there were people who never put on tefillin. Not to be, had bar mitzvahs, never put on tefillin. Father didn't buy tefillin. Why do you want to drink with this crazy thing, tefillin? Bar mitzvah with a party, yeah, that they had. So who prepared them? The Lubavitchoi are not crazy with their tefillin project, that tefillin program. Because the Gemara says there's a special degradation. Kakafta de lo manach tefillin, a skull that never put tefillin on. Their idea of get tefillin on once even, you remove them from that classification of kakafta de lo manach put tefillin. How do you see that that we weren't willing to sacrifice our life for tefillin? For Mila, we sacrificed our life. Ke'olecha horagnu kol hayom, we're willing to be killed all day to do the mitzvah Mila. Right? Isa avodah zorah, willing to forfeit our life and not commit avodah zorah. Remember the time of Hanukkah, the time of the Hashmonaim revolt, there were three gzeiros that the Greek, Romans, whatever they were, Assyrians, issued against the Jewish nation under penalty of death, Shabbos, Mila, and Kiddush HaChodesh. Shabbos, obviously. They were trying to introduce their gods, their Avodah Zorah gods. And Shabbos, of course, is Yichudu Hashem. That's the bris with Kodesh Baruch Hu. Mila is the bris with Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? That you put that mark on your body. Right? Obviously, trying to break them away from Kodesh Baruch Hu, you have to stop that. What was bothering him with Kiddush HaChodesh? Was Gates of Yod, if I want to say Yalav Yavro, what was bothering them? The Kiddush HaChodesh was rabbinic authority. Without rabbinic authority, there's no religion. If you can't ask a shayla, get an answer, have a rabbon understand, watch where you have to make a gzeira or not, then the religion will fall apart. Greeks were smart, they knew that. So they asked the Kiddush HaChodesh. Okay. Now what's the story here? I show you that we were not willing to sacrifice our life for tefillin. Because look at the great Rav Yanai. Doma Rav Yanai. Nu.
Doma Rav Yanai, tefillin tzrichin guf naki. Klisha balknafayim. Mahi amar Abaye shlach yachfiach behem. Rav amar shlo yishan behem.
Lo yachfiach behem, you shouldn't pass any gas, right? Or you shouldn't fall asleep with them, right? It's a bezoyon to the mitzvah, right? Therefore, tefillin is not just put on paired tefillin. It speaks to you. It says, you're putting on tefillin, have a gufnoki. And a gufnoki has the full connotation. Not only take a shower regularly, have a gufnoki, but to be a clean individual in the full connotation of the word. That's in thought, in action, right?
Rabbi.
Right?
Rabbi.
Why they call it, because you need a gufnoki and the the standard, the role model, was Elisha Baal Kerafayim, Elisha with the wings. No.
Shepa machas gzera machos harsha gzera Yisrael. Shekol haminiach tefillin al rosho yikru etz mocho.
They catch anybody wearing tefillin, they will penetrate his skull.
Vaya Elisha maniach tefillin v'yetze l'shuk v'ro kisador echad ratz milfanav ratz acharav. So one of the guys, they saw him and he ran away. They chased him. Kevin shegia etzlo natlan mirosho vachsan biado. Armalei ma biadecha.
In other words, he wasn't prepared to forfeit his life. Mm-hmm. So he tried to hide. He took off the tefillin, held in his hand.
Amarlei ma biadcha, what's in your hand? Amarlo kanfe yona, wings of a dove.
I have just some wings of a dove.
Pashat es yado v'nimtzu ba kanfe yona. He opened up his hand, they found the wings of a dove.
Kadosh Baruch Hu made a miracle. The tefillin shel rosh disappeared, and all he had in his hand was kanfe yona.
V'ficha,
chayu kornoso. God made a miracle for him, that's because Elisha gufnoki, but forfeit his life not. Okay. So that's the question, why not? Ha'pi alocha, why not? Shas gzeira, you're supposed to forfeit your life. It's the time of Gzeira. If a fellow says, I catch you wearing tefillin, I'll kill you because he's an anti-Semitic neighbor, fine. You don't have to forfeit your life. But when it's a Shas Gzeira for Klal Yisrael, the halacha is you have to forfeit your life even on the color of the shoelace you're going to wear. They wear red shoelaces, we wear black shoelaces, and the order is you must wear red shoelaces, but to forfeit your life. That's question number two. I need an answer for that. We'll back up to Gemara. This Gemara occurs previously on Daf Mem Tes. We'll look at it in a minute. Tes was there, but all right. Let's finish this off.
Lefiach hayu korinoso ba'al knafayim. Maishna kanfei yona. Damarlei velo. Amarlei shar ofos. Mishum dimamaya knesset Yisrael yona. Oh, so why was it a yona and not another bird? Because knesset Yisrael is compared to a dove.
A what?
Knesset Yisrael.
Yeah?
Dimamaya knesset Yisrael yona.
But it's compared to a yona, shenema?
Kanfe yona, nechba.
Kanfe yona, nechba bekesef.
Vavrute.
Evoseh biyarakrak.
Biyarakrak. Charutz.
Biyakrak chorutz, and green look, some kind of coating, etc. It's a kind of aesthetic beauty. There's something covered with silver, and the rest covered with a green, something metallic green. Why would you compare Am Yisrael to a yona? My yona zoo. So Rashi gives you a quote in ethology, animal behavior. What do you mean, maginos alehen? Eino nochemes bechatumeha. Unlike other birds, who when they fight, they peck at each other with their beaks. Right? Ella biknofer, they fight by hitting each other with the wings. Check out whether that's our yona also does that way. But some of them are birds like that. Okay. All right. Now turn to Daf Memtes. I think it's Memtes if I remember correctly.
Rabbi, is the guf naki the only reason?
Oh, you wanted to ask something before. I'm sorry.
Is the guf naki the only reason that it's nahug not to wear tefillin all day anymore?
The reason that what?
That it's not nahug to sit and learn in tefillin, to wear tefillin all day.
The reason is that the halacha is hesach hadas, not guf naki. Guf naki physical guf naki is not a problem. It's what's inside is a problem. If you're thinking thoughts that are not proper thoughts, hes hadas. I knew people who would fill all day on the east side.
Yerushalayim, they do it a lot.
We tell you, huh?
In Yerushalayim, they have several kolim.
Yeah, tell you an interesting story. My father was at Sal. We had a shayla about a woman, Ashkenazi woman, married to a Yemenite. On the Lower East Side, there were a lot of Yemenites had settled, very choshev people. And this Yemenite died. They had no children, so she was a Yevoma. And he had a brother in Yemen. So she needed chalitza, so she should be able to remarry the young people. One day, a little Yemenite shows up to claim his wife. The brother came to marry her. He has a wife at home, but he could use an extra one, no problem. So he came to my shayla, the Yemenite's yelling, he wants to marry her, but we don't allow a marriage of a Yevama. We force chalitza. Yemenites did not. They allow Yevama. So he came to my shayla, I was there at the time in the house. Unbelievable scene. This little Yemenite, so we see a great Talmud Chacham. The Yemenites leave them alone. The Goyim wouldn't bother them. They maintain mastery of Torah like in the old days. There was no one around in our generation the equivalent of Kapach, Zechor Levoch. Head and shoulders, little fellow, head and shoulders above everybody. Yeah. Total mastery, total recall. And this fellow begins to argue with my father-in-law. What do you mean? It's a mitzvah Yevama? Absolutely. She explained to him that she's an Ashkenazi, we don't follow that minhag. And she wouldn't listen. Here's a man sitting, I must have been sitting with him at least an hour, and suddenly I notice he's wearing tefillin. Little tefillin sticking out. His hat moved, he's wearing tefillin. I realize already what kind of fellow we're talking about. Yeah. My father insisted we can't allow the evil man. He began to cry. He says, you know who my father was? You know who my grandfather was? He says, I studied Torah all day. I don't come near my father. My father didn't come near his father. He says, and you're going to call me Beis Chalutz Hanol? He says, after you give chalitza, they all shout, Beis Chalutz Hanol. He's the guy who came from the house where they gave chalitza, not me. You're going to call me Beis Chalutz Hanol? My man sat there, cried, and he had to give in. They wouldn't allow him. She wouldn't marry him. Fine. They had to give chalitz. But that stuck in my mind. Unbelievable pathos. That's just a sadness there for that Amin Hogim we diverged and didn't allow what he was arguing correctly. But he was a man, you can imagine, you know what kind of people we're talking about. The man who wore tefillin all day. Yeah. Not because he got paid to be in a coil, because that's how he did it, period. Okay. Say the Tesis Kalisha Ben Anisha Balkanafayim. Look at the Tesis of Memtes. Why? How do you know the Nisha was a goof noki? The fact that God made a miracle must be that he was something special. Nokat Elisha, the Mistoma, Kim and Shanaso and Nespitrilin, Hoyazor Behen, Voyolo goof noki. Umizehatam, that's why Ain Ono Yeholy Potter. We can also, nothing stops us from having a goof noki. Vein temo al ma shem mitzvah zos refui b'deinu. Don't be surprised that the fact is that tefillin is no big deal. We're not so devoted to tefillin nowadays, he says. But time of Tosfos already. Shegam bimei chachomim hoyso refuyo kidesanya bepeik ablezer demila, what we just learned. Abshim alazoma kol mitzvah shol mosu asma yisrael olera b'shas seir zamalchus gan tefillin adayin yirifu b'yodo. And I hear what I quoted you about the Lubavitcher. Vod amrinim perikamah de Rosh Hashanah. Poshe Yisrael begufon. Who's called a poshe? His body is a body of a posheya. Who's that? Kakafta lo manach tefillin. But you just told me that we're not so careful on that. There are people who are not careful with tefillin. We don't wear tefillin all day. Also, he says. Omer Rabbeinu Tam, no. Kakavtel or Mazat Tfilin is those who willfully don't put on Tfilin. The Meir Bosin shows the Machmas Mered, Umabazan Hamiswa, Bishochiki Birzuo, Shebeyodom Barosham, Kiryom Abayuma, Pshom Elu Hamad. What's he? Does that Joe go as a Jew in the army? He wakes up early, puts on tefillin, right? And the goyim watch him. Then they overhear one guy says to the other, he says, "Those Jews are real smart." He says, "See, every morning they take their own blood pressure." Behold, Omar be medrash. Tefillin mishbalo zika behem bnei ramoim. Why didn't we, keep up tefillin? Because of the ramoim. What's ramoim? But if you wear tefillin, you give yourself a reputation. And if you're a ganef, right, and you want to made off with someone's money, right? That's why he got the name Madoff, right?
Yeah.
You wear tefillin, gives you a reputation. That's what Madoff did. Not with tefillin. He stuck with the Jewish community, where he had a reputation. He gave tzedakah, etc., etc., right? That's how he was able to get people to trust him implicitly without checking up on him, and so on and so forth. That's part of the scheme. Most schemes, Genovim, right, are within their own group. That's where they can establish themselves and give people, gain people's confidence. He says, Medrash says, why we don't make a big deal about wearing tefillin all the time? Because if you do, you're only going to make it easier for Ramoim to fool the people, right? Ein ihre Lerim, shum rafam nimnu mir as mitzvah. doesn't make sense. Elohoche perusho. Meimalo erziku nemonos be'odam in yotrilin. Can you imagine someone putting on tefillin, Shem Hashem Nikro Alecha, and he goes and he lies and he cheats? Why don't we accept that we go with chazokah? And this man, anyone who puts on tefillin has a chazokah. So why don't you indeed have a rule, if he's putting on tefillin, I can trust him? Mipnei haramoim. Because the gangsters, the ganovim, figured out tefillin only costs $100. With $100 pair of tefillin, I can steal a few million dollars. So they'll start putting out. Come, show you minichin tefillin ramos bnei odom, right? Kidem aforish osam. As the Now I'm learning pshat. Menir tefillin, as I told you the story before, he puts on tefillin all day. The idea of putting on tefillin, taking him off like we do, that's not what we're asking. That doesn't show any ramos. You can't hide by that. It's not going to impress anybody. But the question is, why don't we wear tefillin all day? So, right? She says, of course, that's not a reason. We don't wear tefillin all day. Well, it gives other reasons. Menoches, I told you, mishum hesach hadas, because we are not the way it used to be, where a person could sit and study Torah all day, work for a few hours, right? Then during while he's working, take the tefillin off and put him on again. We are the other way around. We work all day, and therefore we can't put on tefillin, because you'll forget about them. You forget about it. Even wearing tefillin, that's heschadas, that's an isu. That's why we don't do it. It doesn't answer that. It doesn't bring that answer in. Right. Hosam ma'ase b'talmid echad shifkin ma'osa v'esel echad. Show you minir tefillin. Someone went ahead, had to go away. He wanted to leave some money over in safety. So he went into his neighbor, who was a man who wore tefillin all day, asked him, would you please watch my money while I go away, while I'm going on vacation? Right? Kishetovabo, when he came to claim the money, Omar lo hoyu dvorem me'olam, lahadam, lo hoyu dvorem me'olam. You never gave me any money. I never saw you. But Amalei also Talmud. Yes, lo lecha hefkadati. I didn't give you to watch my money. I gave my money to the tefillin on your head. Elo the tefillin sharosho. Meaning that indeed, wearing tefillin is a sign of integrity, etc., etc. Okay?
They're saying because of the Ramayim, they would go out and buy them in order to make it, to cheat people, so everyone stopped wearing them?
Doesn't answer that question. I told you, that answer is given in the Gemara, that it's Meshum Hesach Hadas. That's the reality is we can't.
But it seems like there's two different things. There's one that we don't wear tefillin all day, we only wear it in the morning.
The what?
It seems like there's two different things. One that we don't wear tefillin all day, we only wear it in the morning for davening. And it seems like in the times of Tosis and the Gemara, or Tosis and he's superimposing on the Gemara, most people wouldn't wear tefillin. Ever.
What are you talking about?
I'm saying it seems like the problem by Tosfos that he's referring to is the fact that most people didn't wear tefillin ever, not just all day. They didn't wear tefillin.
That's why I
didn't have tefillin.
I added tefillin all day. Otherwise, Tosfos doesn't make much sense in reality. We do wear tefillin. We are mock pit on wearing tefillin. That just means wearing tefillin means all day wearing tefillin.
Well, maybe not in Tosfos time.
Yeah?
Maybe not, in our reality we wear tefillin every day, not in Tosfos reality. Tosfos didn't live a long time ago.
Okay.
That's the only way it makes sense that he's bringing in the issue of Poshi Yisrael Begufin. Begufin Kerkavs to let man off tefillin. He's saying, look, we have half of a nice percentage of Am Yisrael that doesn't wear tefillin, so they're all Poshi Yisrael Begufin. He says, no. Only the people that do Machmas Merit. The people that do it just because they don't do it.
That's why I said, that's why I prefer to learn Pshat. Tosfos talking about that nowadays we do not wear tefillin all day. That to put on the tefillin to become the mitzvah and take them right off. You don't, there's no time that you have to keep them on, to turn them on and take off. That people do. But they don't wear tefillin all day. That's been the change that happened.
So why would there be a problem of karkas to limon of tefillin then?
On which one?
Why would Tosfos be worried that there's a problem of karkas to limon of tefillin? And the people are poshi Yisrael Begufa in that case. If they wear tefillin every day, then
no,
they're fine.
There's no... Imam isn't worried about. He doesn't mean the case of Akato and Tfil as a concern that they don't wear Tfil. Here, what he says, which are. I mentioned Lubavitch putting on it. What the Gemara there means, poetry is all about gofer, but kaftan, or manchat tefillin. Don't wear tefillin all day. Everything is all day. I learned the whole text all day.
Why all day? If they wear tefillin, then.
Yeah?
Kerkas is the amount of tefillin. Sounds like a person who never wears tefillin at all. Why all day? How do we know this? I understand.
Certainly, the what the Gemara says that a fellow doesn't put in tefillin at all is a poshi Yisrael. That's what he's saying. Poshi Yisrael, lo malach tefillin, right?
But if the problem Tosfos is talking about is that they only wear tefillin, that they wear tefillin part of the day, not the other part.
That's how Tosfos tells it right away, right? He says the dying of fui biyod. He says the whole damrin and the tefillin there, kakapte lo. The low manach tefillin is machmas merit, but if he's not machmas merit, he just didn't save up enough money to buy tefillin. Doesn't want to waste the money to buy tefillin. He's not from the poshi Yisrael. He defines the poshi Yisrael who didn't put on tefillin because of mutiny against the mitzvah tefillin.
Yeah. But what I'm trying to say is, it seems to me that the refui biyodenu that was happening in Tosfos' time was that people weren't wearing tefillin at all. Because they don't want to buy tefillin, whatever the reason was.
No.
Not because they're married. Because they wouldn't wear tefillin all day long.
What's the point you're making? What is it you're trying to say?
I'm saying doesn't look like to me Tosfos is talking about the issue of wearing it in the morning only, not all day. He's talking about that people wouldn't wear it at all. And if not for the fact that he has a special pshat and poshi Yisrael Begufin, then they would all be karkas malach tefillin, because they would never wear tefillin at all. So he says a special pshat that is only Malchus Merit, but otherwise these people never wore tefillin in his time.
So that's exactly what Tosfos is saying, that the poshi Yisrael who don't wear tefillin at all, if they do it because of merit, they play around with the straps and so on. That those are the poshi Yisrael, but those who don't put on tefillin at all, there are other averes greater than not wearing tefillin.
Yeah.
For a mitzvah saseh, you're not called a poshi Yisrael. He differentiates that, since we're talking about people who are not Zohar but Mrs. Tefillin, that does make them to a poshi Yisrael unless they are merit as a merit. Okay, let's continue. Now we have a real trouble. Okay. This is, I told you, if the Peyek would continue like this first one, it would be very nice. The whole Peyek, if I got it here, nice Svoris, etc. Yeah. Okay, I left you with two Shailas, so remember. Number one, why doesn't Gelus abolish the concern for Mishpocha, since Gershon is Gayek to Kotzen Oladomi? And second, why is this is with Shas HaGzeira, right? As it says, Gzeira Malchus of Shoy, right? Gzeira Yisrael, why if Elisha Balkarfayim was such a tzaddik, why did he not leave the tefillin on his head and not abstain from the mitzvah? It's Shas HaGzeira, you're supposed to hold the line, even though you forfeit the life.
Doesn't mean that he's like he should. I mean, if he could take off his tefillin and protect himself, then yeah.
Say?
If he could take off his tefillin and protect himself, then yeah, you're not supposed to put yourself in a.
No, Shas HaGzeira is you can't protect yourself. You can't evade. You're supposed to stand up and challenge them.
So
that's the kind.
Maybe he was trying to protect the tefillin because they said they'll crack his skull.
So Rebbe, if that's the case, then why in Shat Sakana, that's Shat Gzeira also, why not take the knife for the Mila and wear it?
100%. That's the Shaila too. That's part of the same Shaila. Right.
So then how can we say in one case that we were makpid on Mila, and yet we wouldn't, Rabbi Eliezer says from the beginning, hide it b'shat sakana,
right.
And yet by tefillin, they may have worn tefillin.
Very good question. That's okay. That's the question. All right. In other words, what are the halachos? Unfortunately, we've been subjected to those halachos throughout our history. The halachos of Kiddush Hashem. When you were chuyu to Mekadosh Shemayim Barabim, when one of the famous tshuvas, the Holocaust, was, are you allowed to buy forged papers to declare yourself a Christian? Many Jews survived the Holocaust by having forged documents that said they were Christian. And they lived throughout the Holocaust as Christians.
What's the question?
Hmm?
What's the question?
It was there with Shas HaGzeira. To eradicate Judaism, you're supposed to stand up.
So how does the Rambam say with the tshuva that he gave to the Maranos or whatever it was?
Because it was not made of Zohar. It was the Maranos. It was for Yemen. It was for converting to the Muslim faith.
With the Inquisition.
Muslim faith is not a void of Zohar.
It doesn't matter.
It's a monotheistic faith.
If you're going with Shas HaChak rules,
then
if you're going with Shas HaChak rules, even on non-mitzvahs, and especially if it's mitzvahs.
Only with the Gzeira was made by Obdei Avodah Zarah, because the purpose of having you put on red shoelaces is to identify yourself with their sun god.
Wow. Why is the problem of meaning you're not being Jewish either way, whether you're being
Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem is anti Avodah Zarah.
For that matter, Nazis weren't.
I'm sorry?
The Nazis weren't pushing an Avodah Zarah agenda either. They were secularists.
There's a better tell us than that.
But also, all these things, I think,
better tell us
only when you're doing it by myself.
That declaring yourself a Christian is not Avodah Zarah. If it were Avodah Zarah in the Hanami. But there were Christians who were not Avodah Zarah. I think all Christians are from. And only Jews and not full.
With our case of the tefillin, there might be a difference between actively, I mean, doing it, listening to them when they tell you to do an action, doing something actively, which shows that you're listening to them and to the Avodah Zarah ways,
yeah,
versus passively.
Yeah, yeah,
I mean, they tell you don't do something. So when you're not doing it, it doesn't show that you're not doing it for anything. It shows you're not doing it.
See, look at what you work a little bit, but tefillin is an asay, that alosa say, there are two. the tefillin's about to begin. We'll analyze that ministership. Okay, let me introduce this terrible topic. Okay. Listen to the Gemara. Omar Rabada Bar Rabada Omar Bitzot. Pamachas Shokhu Lahivu Ismo Me'ov Shabbos. Ve'viu Bishabbos. Derech Gagos Derech Hatzeros. Okay, visualize the case. The Moel didn't forgot to bring the knife to the baby where the baby was. Therefore, on Shabbos, they had a fellow carry the knife by jumping from roof to roof. In those days, in most towns, for protection against the enemy, surround the wagons or roll up the wagons right there. The houses were very close together. You go from one house to the next. They didn't want to carry it in the Shus HaRabim, so they looked for a way to carry the knife to minimize the Isu or to find a heter. We'll see. So they delivered the knife, the gagos with their chatzelos, either from house to house or going through backyards. Shalom b'ritzon Rab Eliezer. Against the wishes of Rabbi Eliezer. Seems to be a Maisa Shoya, is the case. Rabbi Eliezer protested they didn't behave properly. Why? Well, Rabbi Eliezer held you can carry to Rosh HaRabim. Mila is Doch HaShabbos, Makshiri Mila Doch HaShabbos, and that's the problem. On the contrary, it was what? It's Chibubi Mitzvah. Look at Rashi. There are Gagal B'chatzeros, Shelo Irvu Zu Mzu. That's the problem. They did an Isu, but they minimized the Isu. Instead of carrying Meshus HaRabim, they carried during the, but the people didn't make an Eruv between themselves. All right. You know, all know the halachas of, it's the minimum halachas of Eruv. I'm not talking about Eruv Chatzeros, meaning an Eruv Tchumin. And it allows you to carry more than 2,000 amos. Talk about Ruvi Chatzeros. Ruvi Chatzeros is Ragzeira de Rabbonon. If you're dealing with more than one house and you have to go into your neighbor's property, you can't carry from your house into the neighbor's property, even though it's not a Rosh Hashanah. But mit Rabbonon, the Rabbonon Asad, if it is another house, then it's like going out in the public, and for fear that you will then carry into the Rosh HaRabim proper. Therefore, they asked, even with the Rosh HaYochid, they asked, unless you make a heker, a simon. What's the simon? A very nice simon. You will go ahead and you buy a loaf of bread. The way you do it is collect a penny from each person who wants to join, and you buy a loaf of bread, you put that aside. That means you are now one family, you're going to eat together. That makes it into a Rosh HaYochid Yochid, instead of a Rosh HaYochid Rabim, for which you need an Eruv. That's the basic swallow behind this Eruv business. You also have to know what was the zoning laws or the town structure in those days. All towns were made that way. You had houses, and the house had a yard in front of it or back of it. these houses abutted a corridor, a street. That street is called the Mogli. Brings you into the Rishus HaRabim. So you had Rishus HaYochid, Chotzer, Mogli, Rishus HaRabim. Rishus HaRabim, the Mogli is closed on three sides, like a peninsula, right, and opens up to Rishus HaRabim. I don't allow you to carry from your house into the Mogli, because the Mogli is shared by all the houses. Therefore, it's like a Rishus HaRabim. So in order to carry in the Mogli, you need an Eruv to join all the people who are abutting the Mogli, to join them into one family. You got the picture?
Did the houses open directly into the Mavoi, or the Chatzerot of all the areas?
No, a house, yard, and the yard opened up. In other words, the other way around. Here's the Rishus HaRabim. You walked, came from the Rishus HaRabim into the Mavoi. You left the Rishus HaRabim behind. From the Mavoi, you walked into your yard. From your yard, you walk into your house.
But were there houses sharing that yard?
Sharing that yard? Yeah. Soon. That house sharing the yard too. Right now we're sharing the Mogli.
Okay.
Per
yard there was only one house in this case.
Right now could be more. We'll see in a minute. You'll see in a minute. Yeah, but right now the picture I'm giving you is right. The Mogli is being shared by all the houses. The houses, however, are not directly abutting the Mogli. But the houses are abutting their own chotzer, and the chotzer abuts the Mogli. Okay. What do we do today in a town where you want to enable the people to carry? The biggest problem is the women wheeling carriages on Shabbos. You make an eruv. Right. What's going on today was. The last newspaper I saw on the plane was the battle going on in the Hamptons, where they're fighting the Jews there who are trying to put up an eruv. They already paid rental for the poles, the telephone poles to the lighting company, right? And now there's a legal action trying to stop them. Of course, the legal action taken by Jews. My non-Fum Jews don't want an Erev in town. They don't want to attract that element to town. Once you have an Erev, you end up with seven shuls. Right. Okay. So here, what they did was carry the knife going from chotzer to chotzer, or from gag to gag. And some chilik, which one it was. Maskaro Rav Yosef. What means Shlo Birtzon Rav Eliezer? Rav Eliezer certainly wouldn't object. Adarav, Rav Eliezer Hudishori. He says you could be Bechal Shabbos in order to do the mila, even though it's only Hechsher Mila. V'chi teima shobutzon Rabbi Eliezer d'shori afilu b'shus harabim. Ah, you say, no. So you say, shlo b'rtzon, the Rabbi Eliezer protested they're carrying the knife there. Why? He would not protest that he did it in the b'shus harabim. Ela means, what? Na b'rtzon chalchomim. Not Bertrand Rabbi Eliezer, because he was perturbed that they went ahead and looked for a heter, to look for an easy way out. You must take an easy way out. You should go right to Rishus HaRabim. Ella, you mean, they violated Rabbi Eliezer's halachas. Who supported their halacha? Ella, what? Bertrand Rabbanon, the opposite of protesting, they followed the other shita. The other sheet is Rabbanon, not true. The also the Elishus Rabbim show the other guys that has Arifiros, Umishori, who says they have a matir. It should all be its own. No, but it's on nobody. Why the Rabbonon wouldn't allow you even to do an Isur the Rabbonon to do Mila on Shabbos? Umishor Asanya. We learned in the Braise, according to the Rabbanon, Kishem, Shem, Mevi, and also Der Rosh Hashanah, Kach Ein Mevi, and also Der Gagos, or Der Chafifos, Der Chaseros. Elo, you're quite right. Shelo, Betzon, Rabbi Eliezer, or Machlokuso. What they did was in opposition to Rabbi Eliezer, who wanted them to do more, to go, do the Rosh Hashanah, not like the Chachomim, who wouldn't allow them to do even that little bit, even the Rabbanon. Elo, who then did they follow? They had a pasuk like somebody. You have to look. They're looking for a pasuk, not Rabbi Eliezer, and not those who oppose Rabbi Eliezer, the Chachomim. Elo b'rutzon Rabbi Shimon. New halacha. This nun we learned in the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Echad Gagos, Echad Kafifos, Echad Chaseros, Kulon Rishus, Echad Hein Lekelim. What kind of Kelim? Sheshofsu Besochon, Velo Lekelim, Sheshofsu Besoch Habayis. Who approved what they did? Rav Shimon did. Rav Shimon held that if the knife were outside the house, it was already in the chotzer, then to take it from chotzer to chotzer, or was on the roof, take from roof to roof, no problem. He also holds, I can't take it from my house up to the roof, my house into the yard, that I can't do. To take it out of the house, they all agree would be also. But since it was kelim sheshofsu chutz labayis, then what's the big chiddush? Very interesting. Psychology, what? I think psychologically it's very interesting, Hezbo. A man's home is his castle. The concept of privacy, right, the right of privacy, applies to your house. Give you not directly a raya to it, that the importance of the sense of privacy is from Boma Machteres. If someone breaks into your house to steal something, and he doesn't steal anything, can't buy anything he likes, and he's on the way out, you can shoot him in the back. Why? He defiled your house. He entered your house. Then is hifkir atzmo lemisa. He frees himself to anyone to kill him. That's a halachic right of privacy. Your yard doesn't have the same sense of ownership, sense of privacy. Your roof, nightlights. It's not used. That's behind you. It's outside your closed doors. Someone can climb up on your roof without violating your privacy. Therefore, he considered, since we're mimicking Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, that's why they made the Gzeres, why you need an Eruv. You shouldn't mistake going from your private property to someone else's property, right, is the same as going from your property to the Rishus HaRabim, to someone else's property. In other words, from your right of, from your private domain to a more public domain. Therefore, yards and roofs and so on lack that private domain concept. Therefore, Rav Shimon held, there's no need for Chachamim to make a takonet, to make an Eruv. So you should not mistake and go out to Rishus HaRabim, well, that's only when you're going from your right of, from your private domain into a more public domain. But if you're going from a non-private domain, like your yard, roof, etc., there's no need to make a gzera. That's Rav Shimon's svara. What does it mean, essentially? All yards are free territory, like Mokum Ptur. All roofs are Mokum Ptur. You got it? Try to think that that's the best I can do, give you a, some rationale for what seems to be a, some arbitrary machlokes.
Not Carmelite? Not Carmelite?
Yeah.
It could also be called?
They're not really not Carmelites. What's Carmelites, they didn't define a term for you, Karfifen. Okay. Let's see. This is going back to my history. I made the first public Erev in America. Muncie was the first public Erev. When I came home, 1965, I made an Erev, not a big Erev, maybe, what was it? Most likely the equivalent of maybe 12, 15 square blocks. But the era with poles, you had to use the poles, put in poles, had to deal with the companies, etc., etc. And we had it for many, many years. And then the community grew and they wanted a bigger era around bigger parts of the community. I didn't want to take any responsibility for that. Too hard to maintain an era of a piyamach. So the chassidim took over and they sprinkled some holy water on this on Muncie, and now they carry all over, no problem. There was only one public Erev, Queen Erev before mine in Toronto, I heard. Rabbi Price, the Chayloach. That's same time, a little bit earlier, but there was the only two public rooms in the world for many, many years were the one in Toronto and the one in Muncie. So I'll give you my experience. We bumped into a problem in making an Erev. The problem was that we had at the end of Maple Avenue, we had a farm. They grew pumpkins, etc. That was in the Erev. The problem is that a farm where you can't walk through that property, right, cannot be included in the Erev. It's not a domicile. It's a domicile halacha. In Baltimore, they have a problem with a lake that's in the Erev. And they paskin there, Rabbi Heinemann, that's Star K. I'm a paskin for them, I believe incorrectly, that if they will occasionally pull up and wash their car using the water of the lake, that'll make it to a private property. And it's no longer a like a carmel, it's called a kafifa. Kafifa is private property not designated for inhabitation. That would be wooded areas, etc., etc. Therefore, sometimes you have to go ahead and gerrymander an Erev to avoid those properties. You with us?
Private property not specified for habitation?
Yes, no, it's private property. It's owned by an individual. It's not a public property. But it's not used for living.
There's
plenty of forest and wood.
Huh?
There's plenty of forest and woods inside Muncie for sure, and I'm sure other cities too.
Yeah, so.
How do we deal with that? Private property, it's not.
I used to run along one side of the street, not the other side of the street. And you avoid it there. You cut out whatever you could. We had a further down a lake. You had to go ahead and put an egg around the lake to cut the lake out from my end of the lake. Yeah, it's really green thumb egg construction. We made use of people always come over and question some of our lines ran through the trees lining the road, and there was no lechi, no board. That's because the lechi is that if you have a tree and there's a fork in the tree, and if it's over the stem, I can put my wire here, my kova here, and this becomes a lechi. If you have but you want to attach it on the side here, then it's not a kova al gabov. So if I have no fork in the road, just say that I want to attach the wire here, no good. If I have a fork, then it's al gabov of this one.
If you use trees probably every third windy day.
What?
If you use trees probably every third windy day, a branch breaks it.
What
use trees, you don't have problems with the branches breaking the earth?
Oh, no, more trouble with the man-made earth and breaking. The trees don't break, so trees are fine. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows how to make an earth.
Is a public beach also considered carmelis?
Yeah? Sure, public beach. Sure. I made the first earth in Miami. Miami Beach. Yeah, we had a cut out the beach, couldn't walk on the beach. Where do we run it? It's a long time ago already. It's also the area I think has been expanded past that. We ran along Indian Creek. Was it in Long Island? We made an eruv. Where a bunch of anti-Semites were ripping it down all the time. Yeah, so we got some industrial tape. Yeah, thick industrial tape. And ran the tape along a telephone pole, and then we put some numbers on the tape, make it look like it's official from telephone company or electric company, etc. Put some tags on with metal tags with numbers on there, and the thing. And that tape was the lechi, was the Tzuras HaPesach, because there's no shear to it. Chatzchila don't like it. We like an eruv to have a heker; it should look like an eruv. But in Muncie there was an area where we had put a tape behind the 2x1x2 wood that we used as the lechi, and put it just for security, because several times the Arab disappeared, but we found out it wasn't due to anti-Semitic activity. Someone wanted a piece of wood. He saw a fresh piece of wood. He needed it for whatever he wanted, or for the fireplace, maybe. So that's already quote practical business. That's practical. Okay. So what do we have here? Let's see. Get one more line in, and I see this snow is picking up again. prophesizing in my area, in Muncie, 8 to 12 inches for tonight. Last time, while the snow was still falling, our roads were clean. They did a fabulous job. No trouble whatsoever. And all the side streets, everything was spotless, really. We hope they'll do the same thing now, because once you get on the thruway and so on, you can always manage. But to get to it is the problem. So far, Baruch Hashem, this morning was shreklich because they got caught unawares. They weren't expecting the storm until 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock an hour. But otherwise, they did an unbelievable job.
Rabbi, there's an opinion that says that Surat HaPetach Lechatchila is not good enough, that it needs to be walls and a bariach.
Okay, we'll try to give you a bigger picture of Erevin. You're talking about the Rambam sheet. Rambam says that Sosa Pesach can only work if you have two mechitzos. You have a L-shaped walls, then you can complete with the Tzuras HaPesach. But if you four Tzuras HaPesach is a Rambam sheet, that you can only deal with four goalposts. Yeah. I personally made the fatoli an Erev with all the chumras. I never used my own Erev. I never carried my Erev there because I got caught as a young Talmud with the Rav. Rav Yosef Zatzal pushed the Rambam Shita that you need two mechitzas. So I had accepted upon myself not to use the Erev before while I was growing up. And then when I made my own Erev, I didn't want to be Mataneda. So I supported everyone who would want to use my Erev, but I personally never used the Erev.
You need two connected walls?
If I had to carry something across the shul, I have to ask two of you to carry it. It's good to have a Shabbos going.
You need two connected walls, and then the other two you can put with a...
But four Tzuras HaPesach, four goalposts now.
Is there a problem with hearing aids and carrying?
I'm sorry?
Is there a problem with hearing aids and carrying on Shabbos?
Keys?
Hearing aids.
Hearing aids. Yeah.
I mean, they're not for style at all. They're like watches.
If you ask, hearing aids, there's something more common. Eyeglasses.
Eyeglasses, people make sure they look nice.
So,
it's like a watch.
Where do you find that the thing looks? I mean, it's an ornament. No, we'll say it's tachshit. No, Tzorach HaGuf is mutter.
Uh-huh.
Tzorach HaGuf is bottle gabi guf. That's not a problem. That's only the modern hearing aids, like I wear, not a horn with. That's not. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll pick up tomorrow.
What about a toupee?
Yeah?
What about a toupee?
Yeah, it's
Liebusch, Durang?
With the carry, I have a little problem. There's one man in my shul who has a toupee. Probably got me tefillin is a problem. But it's a chatzitza for tefillin.
So what is it? He puts it on the tzinnah first?
Huh?
He puts it on in his house without the toupee first? Or what do you do?
He need
you can argue that even that is bottle gabi guf, since it's that's really for cosmetic reasons. Maybe bottle gabi guf, but the chatzila is hard to mamatos. We have a million.